This is a very auspicious occasion for reflecting on what is the goal of human life. Those of you who have read the Bhagavad Gita know that there's always going to be a disagreement between materialists and transcendentalists about how life should be lived and what is the goal. You should not be disturbed by the fact that there's always going to be this difference. As Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what is day for the materialist is night for the transcendentalist, and vice versa. A materialist is one who thinks matter is very important. In fact, it's the all in all, and that your life and its success is determined by how much pleasurable experiences you can have with matter, whether gross matter or subtle matter. A Krishna conscious person understands that life is successful in terms of how you have revived your dormant relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how you have learned to get your pleasurable taste from the spiritual energy. The life of a Krishna conscious person is revolved around giving pleasure not to your temporary mind and senses, but giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. Such a reality is unknown to materialists who think we cannot see Krishna, so therefore why should we worry about service to Krishna? There are so many things you can't see, nevertheless they are realities in your life. You can't see completely what's going on at the beehive, but those realities affect your life. Like Arjun Deva, he works at MAF still. Now the average person, do they know everything that's going on there? No, they get some official external policies they're aware of, but all the inner machinations, they don't know. But yet, they accept, all right, there's an MAF, Minister of, what is it, Agriculture and Forestry, and Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry, and things are going on. They don't see. Similarly, why can't we accept that although we don't see the spiritual arrangements and management of Krishna, still it is there. And certainly, if you are trained, you'll be able to see the effects. And as you progress more in your spiritual life, when you become purified, when your senses become purified, then you'll be able to see God. Just like no one can just walk in and demand to see a high government official. You have to have some recommendations, some qualifications. Similarly, no one can demand to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead without qualifications. That means the central question of our life is, are we going to achieve spiritual qualifications or are we not? A life dedicated to pleasing your senses disqualifies you from any higher attainments in life. Therefore, as we always say, someone who wants pleasure must understand that there must be purification. Without purification, there's no pleasure. Just like if you want to be educated, you're supposed to go to the university. Except in rare cases, employers immediately want to know, what is your educational qualification? In fact, even if you didn't study what they need at their business,
still they want to see. You went to university. You, in some way, tried to endeavor to improve yourself, and you showed steadiness in learning, even though the skills you learned at the university don't apply to what we need, but still you... We see that you engaged in the educational process. There must have been some benefit. In Krishna consciousness, we engage in the process of purification so that we can actually experience the spiritual reality. What deadens us to the spiritual reality is material activities. What are material activities? Material activities are those activities performed simply for the pleasure of material entities. Our own bodies and minds, as well as bodies and minds in relation to our bodies and minds. Things in relation to your flesh, persons in relation to your flesh, things in relation to your mind, persons in relation to your mind. These are material affairs. Family, friendship, society, and so-called love. Now, does the process of bhakti yoga mean no friends, no love, no society? Materialists think like that. Well, if you're rejecting friendship, society, and love as we know it, then you've got nothing left in your life. If you reject society, friendship, and love as the materialists know it, then your life is empty. There's nothing left. This is a very dogmatic assumption that the way materialistic society has arranged friendship, love, relationships, that is the way, and there's nothing beyond that. That's why in Krishna consciousness we undergo a purificatory process so that we become aware of spiritual ways of relating as friends, in family, in society. It's a completely different way based on the spirit soul and its relationship to Krishna, the Supreme Soul. But if you are polluted by impurity, you can't see these things, and therefore you cannot understand how the spiritual energy operates. So therefore you always feel paranoid. Oh, if I give this up, what will I get? There'll be nothing. Alright, I understand that many of the activities I call pleasure are distressing a lot of times. But what else is there to do? Often people in Wellington give this as an excuse for their weekend bashes. Yes, we know it's not satisfying. We know you get a hangover afterwards. We know the parties are superficial, but what else is there to do? And why should we give up such not satisfying activities when we don't have anything better to put in their place? If you want better, then you must undertake the process of purification. Once the material senses are purified, once they become spiritualized, then we can speak of God realization and enlightenment. Otherwise, no. As long as we think we are the body, then we are, our lives are just day after day of trying to please that body and mind and someone else's body and mind and a whole conglomeration of bodies and minds, all of which are temporary, and the relations with them, of course, are temporary. Therefore, there must be dissatisfaction. There must be a lack of fulfillment. Fulfillment is there on the spiritual platform, in relation to the spiritual energy. Now, this doesn't mean that to practice Krishna consciousness, you turn your back on the material energy. No, you simply understand that the material energy in of itself will not satisfy you. But if you engage the material energy in the service of Krishna, the source of all energies, then the material energy has meaning. Everything belongs to Krishna, not simply the spiritual energy, but also the material energy. The problem materialists have is they think the material energy is meant for their pleasure. Whereas devotees of Krishna know that even the material energy is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, when you use the material energy for Krishna's service, it reveals its spiritual quality. So that is the secret of bhakti yoga. Now, today we are celebrating the formal giving of the Hare Krishna mantra. Actually, so many of these devotees have absorbed themselves in chanting and Krishna consciousness for some of them for many years. So today is a formal beginning. As we've been explaining, the holy name of Krishna does not wait for initiation to act. It's a stated Chaitanya. As soon as the tongue touches the mantra, there's an effect. And furthermore, if you chant Hare Krishna under guidance, then that effect of the mantra becomes even more pronounced. So it's not like the initiation ceremony means, okay, that's it, we've done it. We've graduated and now... No, it's just an external confirmation of what should be there in the heart. Now, what's in your heart, that's up to you. So as we always explain, real initiation can happen before the ceremony, during the ceremony, after the ceremony, or never at all. The prime example, of course, is our founder, Srila Prabhupada, who said from the very first moment that he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he accepted his mission. But actually, Srila Prabhupada's initiation ceremony didn't catch up with him for, I think, 13 years. But he said, as soon as he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he accepted the mission. He accepted that this is my spiritual master. I'll take this mission deep into my heart. In this way, we can understand the different angles. Ceremonies are necessary, but they are not the everything. These Vaishnava ceremonies that we have are purifying, and they also make it clear to all the participants. And vows are a source of strength. There's no doubt, as we explained in Auckland on Sunday, there's no doubt the material world is an alluring place. So you may wonder how I withstand temptation. Will I just be gritting my teeth and biting my nails? Not at all. Krishna consciousness gives you dynamic spiritual activities which replace your lower hankerings. And furthermore, the vows that you make are a source of strength. That, well, I promise. So therefore, even though sometimes things in the material world can appear overwhelming, I promise, and I'll hold tight to my promise. That is integrity. Of course, you have the other side, which we can call Western dog honor. Western dog honor means, yeah, I promise, but yeah, that was 2 years ago. Now the situation has changed. This is not accepted according to the Vedic standard. According to the Vedic standard, even if you make a promise that turns out not to be in your favor, you still keep it. But the Western dog standard is, yes, but times have changed, I've changed. Yeah, I meant the promise when I said it 2 years ago, but now, you know, things are different. You understand, right? Nirva nods her head, yeah. That's it. In this way, life goes on without integrity, without honor, without commitment, and without duty. The Vedic vision is different. You make a promise, you keep it, for better or worse. Just like the old marriage vows. They still say that? For better or worse? Then now that I've heard they're changing the words now. They're, you know, I forgot what they're changing it to, but they're making it more reasonable as they. Okay, so we want to take these vows very seriously,
and use them as a source of strength. Otherwise, it's a fact that many of these devotees have been performing very nice devotional service for many years. So this doesn't mark the beginning of their spiritual life, certainly. But it is a formal connection now that we're establishing. But the real thing is in the heart. And the real thing should be maintained in the heart. And the vows are a source of strength for maintaining the heart connection. We should remember that this formal giving of the holy name means you will be mindful of the 10 offenses to chanting Hare Krishna. Don't just take it that, all right, now I'm initiated and I just finger my beads and mumble the mantra and that's it, because I have a Sanskrit name now. That's the everything. Now, this ceremony marks your determination to chant Hare Krishna without offense. And you can see when devotees of Krishna have struggles and pitfalls and problems, that means they've let go of the holy name as the most important thing in their life. And they don't even think anymore about how to chant with attention properly. If you try to chant Hare Krishna with attention, you can avoid all the other offenses. To chant Hare Krishna with attention means you have to arrange your life properly. No matter what ashram you're in, there has to be some lifestyle management. And it's an ongoing process because things in this material world change. That's the nature of material existence, constant change. So a devotee of Krishna is constantly adjusting and readjusting to make sure that the chanting has its proper place in life. And then you can notice as soon as you just start blurring through your rounds and just getting them done like a morning calisthenic, and then everything becomes mechanical and dry because your affection's not there. Where your heart is, that's where your life is. So you constantly have to adjust your schedule and your activities to make sure that you're giving proper heart's attention to the holy name. Whether you work or study or whatever, there'll always be a reason you can find why you can't pay attention properly to chanting Hare Krishna. And there's always a way you can put it off to the future. When things are better in my life, then I'll do it. It'll always be like that. So you might as well right now understand there'll always be excuses possible. It'll always be possible to procrastinate. So instead, why not make a day-to-day determination now to organize your life around proper chanting of the holy name? And then, of course, there's reading and studying the books of Srila Prabhupada, which give us the understanding necessary to chant and to serve Krishna. Not only that, the books are connecting you to Krishna. Therefore, we hope all our devotees are very dedicated to reading Srila Prabhupada's books, absorbing their minds in them. They are the message of Krishna coming down into the session. And Srila Prabhupada is the instructor, spiritual master for all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. All right?
I'd like all the initiates, if they could, to come and sit here. And then one by one, you can call them up. And they can read women. They pay their obeisances with hands, head, knees, and feet, as normal. And men pay prostrated dandavats here. Then Maharaj will ask you what the vows you promise to uphold are, and then he'll give you what's called dasyana, your particular initiated name, which, as Maharaj was saying, indicates the internal change of heart from an external thing, so everyone's reminded that now you are Sansara Das or Sansara Dasi, accordingly. And like that.
Okay. All right. They have their neckbeads on already?
Everyone have their neckbeads? Can the initiates please come and sit here?
Yes, how are they? Okay.
Everyone can just recite these syllables of the mantra after me, and we'll all perform Archaman together. This is the Pratiprakshana, the purificatory, like an overview of what we're doing, whether we've been through whatever we've done in our lives. If one remembers the lotus eyed Lord, as Maharaj was saying, Kundalini-Archam, then one is automatically purified. So the mantra for that is Om Pavitro Pavitro La Sarvavastam Guru Vivayashvare Kundare Tatsam Sabo and Brahma Sihi. Okay, so we'll just recite the syllables of that. And if you can recite each of the syllables after me. And then at the end of each, like that, we'll take the spoon in the left hand. Take one, two, three. Chant Om Keshvaya Namaha. And then sit, and then discard, and again one to refresh like that. So you just keep your eye on me, and keep the ears open. You'll get there. Okay. If anyone else also in the assembled devotee also wants to perform Archaman, but doesn't have an Archaman cup, you can perform Sopariya Archaman by going Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, as we go from the Apavitra,
Apavitra,
Apavitrova,
Apavitrova,
Sarvavastam,
Sarvavastam,
Utopiva,
Utopiva,
Yashmare,
Yashmare,
Pundarikarsam,
Pundarikarsam,
Sabaya,
Sabaya,
Apayantara Suchihi,
Apayantara Suchihi,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu.
Everyone in the back, just chant Yapa, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vaishnava Namaha, Mahabhami, Tapahami, Pujahami, Hare
Carrie's the oldest, so we'll start with Carrie. Hello?
Can I just, when the initiates get their name, the men traditional, you glorify Haribo. The women, you can also do that like that, but also you can do Haruladani, like that they do. You especially see this in my form with our ladies like that. Very traditional. And we will throw Aksha in Ashiwans.
And what do we do? Carrie has been serving in Krishna House for so many years. When, what year did we first meet her? 92 or something like that. And she's been very dedicated and selfless. And distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and helping many persons to become Krishna conscious. I was talking to her mother yesterday. And mother was saying she never thought her daughter would have such responsibilities. And we're very happy that her mother and sister are here. I haven't seen them since 94, I think, or something like that. I'm sure they're surprised at all the things their daughter is up to, and certainly they can be proud. I explained to them yesterday that they'll get credit from Carrie's activity. We hope that you pray that Carrie will continue selfless dedication to missionary activities. Easy, and certainly the blessing from our Krishna, so the success will make it all more than worthwhile. So, no more Carrie. Now you're Krishna Loka Devi Dasi.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Our guests may be wondering, what's the big deal about no weeding? No intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. These four things are the pillars of distress. They appear to bring happiness, but they bring nothing but distress. And there'll be no solution to the world's problems unless you deal with these four things. That's the bare minimum. So it's not that by following these four rules of know this, know that, know the other, that they're becoming spiritual. Those rules just make you a human being. What makes you spiritual is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Well, you may be wondering why, you know, maybe this is just some special, you know, behavior of our particular exotic spiritual expression. No, it's very practical. By abstaining from meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, your life becomes so clear and simple and uncluttered with problems. All problems can be shown to come from these four things. Health problems, mental problems. Well, they're promising not to do these four things, and that is for their self-interest. Alright. When did I first meet Adam? 96 or something? Yeah. He used to drop by and stay at his house in Cambridge. And he always took a deep interest in Srila Prabhupada's books, studying them. And then when he felt stable and secure, I think after a couple of years, 2 years, he came from Cambridge to live with devotees. So he's always made very nice, steady, gradual progress. Learning that Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to neglect your body, so he's had to fix his health problems like that, because the body is used in Krishna's service. We're not the body, but that doesn't mean we can just ignore it or trash it. It's an instrument for divine purposes instead of mundane purposes. So Adam has now come to the point where he can help and guide others in their taking to Krishna consciousness, becoming a counselor. And very dear service to Krishna. And of course, he's also taken on marriage responsibility. He's setting a good example of relationships based on service to Krishna. Which doesn't mean you neglect your wife. It means the relationship is nurtured for giving pleasure to Krishna. All right, so this is the end of Adam. You are now Mahavan Das. Mahavan is one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. When did we meet you that year? 97. She was working at the Auckland University bookshop. I used to come there and she would sell me books at a discount. serving Krishna, so Prabhupada's mission very nicely for all those years. And now she's also married to Mahaban. He's one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, servant of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So therefore, we'll give you Kadiravan. Is it from both of you husband and wife?
We also forgot to mention that traditionally the disciples after the ceremony will go around and beg bhiksha or beg alms on behalf of their guru as a symbol of humility and like that. So you'll take your cloth and approach everyone. Everyone can give something and help them on their way.
All right. Actually, almost as old as Krishna Lok in Spirit Life in Juliet. You can come up, Juliet. What are the four regular symptoms? What do you always do? Juliet had a very fortunate life. That she first contacted Krishna consciousness when you're old. 15. And a fortunate life in that, unlike most young people today, she avoided a lot of distressing sinful activities. It's quite rare these days. She was walking on the street where, when you met Krishna Loka? New Market. And she, and Krishna Loka baby got the approach there. And you got a Bhagavad Gita? You didn't get a book? Oh, that time. Ah. Ah, okay. So you had met Julian Yatra before. So anyway, she got a Bhagavad Gita and she was reading it. And she wrote a famous letter to the BBT that, you know, you can imagine a 15-year-old girl writing a letter. I'm tired of the material world. I looked at the letter and said, a 15-year-old girl is writing this? I'm tired of the material world? That's generally something, you know, you say when you're like 60 years old. After you tried everything and failed. But for a 15-year-old to write that kind of letter means devotional activities in previous births. And the credit is coming into this life and manifesting very quickly. So she seriously began to practice Krishna consciousness from the age of 15, and she got so much patient and tolerant help from Krishna Loka. And some patience was required. We're very happy that Juliet's mother is here. It was a little, I think mother would agree, in the beginning it was a little difficult to understand, but she, you know, the mother maintained an open mind and gradually, now, I think the mother is satisfied. You can't blame parents for being a little, what is this my son or daughter is into? Because it is different from what everybody else is doing. We can't deny that. As Krishna says, what's night for the materialist is day for the transcendentalist, and vice versa. So it is different. So some parents He actually will be looking so, well, what's my daughter getting into? You know, is this some kind of brainwashing or something? Well, we do aspire to clean the brain, that is true. And there is a bit of a clash between materialistic concepts and spiritual concepts. We don't deny that. But I think that Mother will agree that her daughter has turned out to be a very wonderful, saintly person. You have a saint in your life. And you'll get some of the credit. Because the fruit's coming from your tree. What year did you start teaching? 95. So Juliet has basically grown up, her teenage years, she's grown up in Krishna consciousness. I've done a good job of it. It's not easy being a teenager, right? So much misunderstanding, right? Okay, so that's the end of Juliet. Now you are Sudevi Devi Dasi. Sudevi is one of the eight principal gopis. He started off as a martial arts enthusiast, he and his wife, that's how they maintained themselves teaching martial arts. But all of a sudden, recently, he's totally overwhelmed and fascinated by the possibilities of distributing prasad. Which has turned out to be not only satisfying for the tongue, but also maintains the family. So he's quite delighted with that discovery. And so, in this way, Krishna is showing that if you simply sincerely practice devotional service, somehow or other the maintenance comes. You may not turn out to be a millionaire, but you'll have what you need to get by and live peacefully and practice Krishna consciousness. We're very happy that Dennis is taking his vows. He's a man of honor. He's come up in the martial arts system in which there is understanding of proper respect for the teacher and proper honoring of commitments. And he's applied that discipline and sense of integrity and honor to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it was not a difficulty for him to understand these things, which otherwise are very difficult to understand for Westerners because they don't anymore understand the value of commitment, duty, integrity, promises. All that's been tossed aside and simply, how do you feel right now? Base all your decisions on how you feel right now. Never mind, it's different from yesterday. Just do what you have to do now. So Dennis's life is a stark contrast to that degradation, and he gets strength from integrity and vows. He has a strong Kshatriya, or Vedic warrior, propensity. But now he's more absorbed in Brahmana activities than cooking and offering food to Krishna and distributing. Well, maybe you'll turn out to be a Rajarshi, a combination of Brahmana and Kshatriya. We need some Rajarshi. Rajarshi means sage king. All right. Well, that's the end of Dennis. We'll give you the name Agni Dev Das. Agni Dev, of course, everyone knows, is the demigod in charge of fire. The demigods are all devotees of Krishna. We don't think of them as separate from Krishna's control. Robin? Robin is Agni Dev's wife, and together they make a wonderful combination in Krishna consciousness. They used to teach martial arts together, and now they're cooking and distributing prasad together and raising their children. Robin is especially famous for her carob cake. Yeah, so actually, I should find another favorite preparation for you, because carob cake is a little tough on me these days, but everyone else seems to appreciate it. They don't mind. Oh, you can't eat too much of this. Just take one piece, we'll take the rest. So Robin's a model of a good wife. She augments Agni Dev very nicely. Well, the same, you know, she's, you know, she assists while not abandoning her perspective. Combination. So they go one extreme or the other, which is a very good example. And we appreciate that. Very good example. All right. Well, that's no more Robin. Your name is Swaha Devi. In the heavenly planet, Swaha is the wife of Agni Dev. Did we first meet, Scott? '96 or '97. And I used to go over to her flat, which she shared with someone else, and see her there. And of course, she came from Loft and Newmarket. But then she went overseas for how long? Almost 2 years. Just disappeared. Then she came back and seriously began her Krishna conscious career. Not only did she come back, but she also brought her dear friend Jen with her. And since then, she's been very nicely engaged in spreading Krishna's glory. Really likes to distribute Prabhupada's books and preach to others with a heart of compassion. Many people come running up to the Gaur Yoga Center after having met his dad, their hearts are touched. He gives all the devotees great pleasure and that dedication to distributing Krishna consciousness to others. Your name is Dina Dayala, Devi Das. That means one who is merciful to the common people. Yeah. Common people means those who don't have any transcendental knowledge. And we hope you'll always be such. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what do I always do? Okay. When did we first meet, Jen? You and Diana came back from Europe? What year? 1998. Jen was very skeptical. Have to show her, you know, otherwise, you know, she's seen it all. She, in her mundane life, she'd even gone to India with a friend, and then they broke up once they got to India, and she stayed in India traveling alone, in India, Nepal, for a year, riding the trains, in India, Nepal alone, a lady. She likes adventure. So then when she came back, because of Dina Dayala's introduction, she became a little bit interested in Krishna consciousness. So I always presented things to her quite firmly, seeing that she relished the challenge and that for her to practice Krishna consciousness, her material conceptions would have to be defeated, otherwise she wasn't going to do anything. So I took up the task. We had one famous interaction in the beginning. I was at the house of who you used to know as Adam and Mary. They're now Munichari and Shrutichari. And so we were just having a routine discussion in Auckland about, because they're from Hamilton, about how difficult it is driving around Auckland, how people are so impersonal. They have no time. They spend most of the time driving here and there, back and forth to work. And went on and on like that. And so Jen was there. We had invited her for dinner. And then we started talking about materialistic relationships, how materialistic families bind you. And although they're purporting to be concerned with your welfare, they don't know what the welfare of anyone is. So Jen was listening to all this, and she started to boil. And then suddenly the lid flew off the pot. She just stood up and said, "All right,
I've heard enough of this. I'm tired of you talking about this and that and the other. I like my city of Auckland. I like my mother and father. I mean, not that, of course, I was implying that you shouldn't appreciate your mother and father, but just pointing out the realities that if you don't know what is the ultimate good in life, how can you really help anyone? But anyways, lost it. All right. She stood up, stormed out, slamming the door behind her. She basically made it quite clear. She had enough of me and doesn't go over anything I was saying. But in my line of work, we're accustomed to these reactions. I don't mind walking the tightrope. So I immediately turned to where now Munichari and Shukichari. I said, just watch. This means she's thinking about what I said. She'll be back. And indeed, 1 month later, she showed up at the loft. She claims because she missed the prasad. And ever since then, she's been, you know, completely dedicated to Krishna consciousness. It was great fun defeating her, jousting with her materialistic concepts. Now they're basically gone, so... Now she's very nicely, peacefully serving Krishna. Okay. So we're going to give you the name Guru Vani. Guru Vani, the most important way to relate to the spiritual masters through the Vani, the instruction. The Vapu in Sanskrit, or the form. You may see, you may not see, and it will go after some time. But the most important thing is the Vani. Of course, you don't neglect the physical form when it's there, but you recognize the most important thing is the instruction. So, therefore, your name is Guru Vani Devi Das. I think that's it. Yeah? Okay.
So, if the initiates could. Of course, in the fire. We'll just again some light japa mala for a few moments while we perform Brahma Yajna.